It's Bill F. on WGN. Along with Jennifer L. Scott, Jennifer has written a book called Lessons from Madame Chic, 20 Stylish Secrets I Learned While Living in Paris. Jennifer, your book is getting some great reviews. The New York Times, the Daily Mail, everybody seems to love this book.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad about that.
Yeah, you should be glad. What if you were upset about that? That would be confusing, wouldn't it?
That would be strange, yes, it would.
All right, so take me back in time just a little bit. You were a California kid. You show up in Paris, France, with some lessons to be learned, huh?
Exactly, yes. I was in my junior year abroad, at university, and I went to live in Paris, and I wasn't expecting what actually happened when I was there. You know, I was just looking really for a good time and to do Europe, as they say. It just transformed my life seeing the way that this family lived.
How does it happen? Because I've already been through my school years, and I never had that opportunity to just go to Paris, France. How did this happen for you? What happened that afforded you the idea to even go to Paris, France?
Well, I was lucky. My school has a good study abroad program. I went to USC, but most colleges have some sort of study abroad program, and you sort of work toward that. And you know, in the junior year, it's pretty common to go abroad. And you know, my sister, who's 5 years older than me, I remember she went to Florence, Italy. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh wow, you know, I have to go abroad when I'm in college. So I picked Paris. And that's how I ended up going. You know, obviously very lucky and grateful to have that experience.
Oh, yeah. And prior to this trip, what were you like? Were you fairly worldly? Did you dress well? Did you eat well? What were you like prior to the trip?
I was not worldly, really. I'd been to France once before this, to the south with my dad for 6 weeks and my mom. He was working there. And that was my first kind of taste of European life, and I was like, whoa, that's like another world. So after that trip, that summer trip I took with my parents, I decided that I wanted to go back and go back to Paris, but I wasn't worldly at all. You know, I was a California teenager, basically, you know, flip-flops, Birkenstocks, cut-off shorts, barbecues, you know, the whole deal, very casual, just very California.
Yeah. And it's quite a culture clash, isn't it? That the person you just described in Paris, France, although not totally different, there's a disparity there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you just don't see that type of person there, and you know, there's nothing, and when you do, you know that they're a tourist.
Yep. Because the French, if you show up looking the way you just described, they would consider you to be kind of rude, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they tend to dress up over there, especially the family that I lived with. They were very old-fashioned. And, you know, in the book, I'm very clear about only writing about the family I lived with and another family I was friends with there, you know, because I can't make generalizations about everyone. But they do tend to dress up a little more over there than we do here.
And the reason being what exactly? Why would you say that is?
I think just, you know, like one of the chapters in my book is Live Life as a Formal Affair. It's just everything's a bit more formal over there. The way that you greet people is more formal, you know, etiquette, protocol, the way you get dressed up. It's, I guess maybe there's just more tradition.
That could be it.
Yeah, behind their society and their culture, but yeah, I think that's probably it.
And then when you showed up there, Jennifer, and you had that kind of California girl attitude, what was that transition like from their standpoint? Did they look down on you a little bit? Did they think, like, we really need to fix this girl? Was it like Eliza Doolittle? Well, how do they look at you?
Eliza Doolittle.
Yeah. Were there songs? Did they sing Broadway show tunes to get you to come around? What happened?
It was an awkward transition.
Oh, really?
I think, yeah. Mainly for me, because I was just such a fish out of water. And they were amused by me. This family took in foreign exchange students a lot, so I wasn't their first one or anything, so I think they were used to it, but you know, they kind of they were amused by me, and I was very hyper aware of how different I was than them, so there were a few awkward moments.
Like what happened?
Well, for example, there's so much. I mean, they don't snack, that's one thing.
Yeah,
like at all, I'm not even kidding, they don't snack at ever.
See, now me, I have a Pop-Tart on me at all times. I'm holding a Pop-Tart right now. There's never a time I don't have a Pop-Tart. That wouldn't fly in Paris, would it?
No. Oh, my God, no. So the first day I get there, I have dinner with them. I didn't really eat at dinner because I was so nervous, and they don't speak English.
Right.
So I was, like, speaking, you know, on 3 semesters of college French. I was so nervous. I barely ate. So that night after dinner, I went to my room. And then a few hours later, I got really hungry. So I thought I'd sneak off to the kitchen. And on my way, Madame Chic stopped me. And she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Oh, yeah," I was kind of embarrassed to say I was hungry. So I just said I wanted a glass of water. So she said, "Oh, I'll get one for you." And then she did.
Wow.
And then I never got my snack. But I never got a snack because there were no snacks. But that was kind of an awkward thing. I used to wear these sweatpants around the house, these like white sweatpants that had a hole in the knee that were
yeah.
so comfortable. And I'd wear them with my college t-shirt.
Yeah.
And about a week and a half in, I think she waited a while to ask me about them. She asked if she had created the hole in the laundry, if it was her fault. And I said, "Oh, no, these have had a hole in the knee for ages."
Yeah.
And so she said to me, "Well, why would you bring them to Paris from California if they have a hole?" I mean, I was so instantly like, the light bulb went off. And I'm like, why am I wearing these horrible, horrible sweats in front of this family? I immediately threw them away.
And did that pressure make you want another snack? Because that would have gotten to me immediately. Because you grew up in California where, like, after dinner, you go to Jack in the Box. They don't have, like, Jacques in the Box there in Paris, do they?
No, they don't.
Oh, man. All right, speaking of clothes, this is a very important thing. You talk about this in the book. You speak of this in Lessons from Madame Chic. You say that you can get away with kind of a 10-item wardrobe. Now, for a lot of women, that seems implausible. There's no way you could do this. How do you do this? How do you get away with a 10-item wardrobe?
Well, I have to first say that it is totally possible.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that most women say to me it's impossible, and they're afraid, but they're intrigued. And I just think that we've come to a place, we've come so far where just we have so many clothes. And that's why women think that it's impossible because they've lived like this for so long. But basically what I tell women and men, this is for men too, is to just cut the clutter from your wardrobe. Go through your wardrobe. And I bet you that most people don't even wear 75% of
easily.
Their clothes anyway.
Definitely.
You know?
Yep.
We all wear the same thing all the time anyway. So I really urge people to take the clothes out of the wardrobe, and if you're not ready to get rid of them yet, store them away so you don't see them. And to just really get thoughtful about what items you keep in your wardrobe, make sure everything goes together, everything. And if everything's high quality, then you're going to look, you know, high quality and presentable, then you're going to look presentable on a daily basis, and you won't have to worry about being, you know, underdressed or whatever it is.
I would imagine, Jennifer, that that's a hard sell for women, but for most guys, and I'm in that category, I'm a firm subscriber in the 10-item wardrobe. I've narrowed it down to like 6. I got a couple of sweatshirts and some shorts and baggy pants, baseball cap. I'm set for life.
Well, there you go. You got the number down. Now we just have to get the, you know, style question.
Yeah, that's that's the problem. Was this a hard transition for you to do?
It was. And it didn't happen right away. I mean, basically, the way that I was sort of introduced to this was I brought 2 completely overstuffed suitcases to Paris with not all of my clothes, but a lot of my clothes. And when my French family showed me my room, it was charming, that I had this very tiny armoire to store my clothes in with 10 hangers inside. And I'm thinking, where am I going to keep all my clothes? So I basically lived out of my suitcase for the whole time I was there because... But I noticed then once I was there that everyone kind of just wore the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
But they look good. There was no stigma about it. Over here, especially with women, you know, we think we can't wear the same thing twice in a week. I mean, let alone twice in, you know, a month or 2 weeks.
Of course.
So they wore the same things all the time. They were high quality clothes. And they basically had a capsule wardrobe of about 10, you know, core items. So when I got back to America, I basically, for a few years, completely rebelled against everything I learned in Paris. And I went back to having, you know, tons of clothes and everything. But finally, it just, my life, it just wasn't working. Every morning I was waking up, opening my closet, and saying, I don't have anything to wear, when I had hundreds of things before. So that's when I knew, you know what, I got to go back to this.
Let's talk more about this in just a little bit. My guest is Jennifer L. Scott. She is the author of Lessons from Madame Chic, 20 Stylish Secrets I Learned While Living in Paris. You can visit her website, which is jenniferlscott.com, and also another website, dailyconnoisseur.blogspot.com. We'll continue in just a little bit. It's WGN. It's Bill Leff on WGN, along with Jennifer L. Scott, the author of Lessons from Madame Chic, 20 Stylish Secrets I Learned While Living in Paris. Two websites, jenniferlscott.com and dailyconnoisseur.blogspot.com. Jennifer, during the commercials there, I had an 8-item wardrobe. I've now narrowed it down to just 4. So how about that? I'm learning from you quickly.
Great.
Now, speaking of clothes, that tennis shoe thing that we've got here in the United States where we can just wear tennis shoes kind of all the time, that doesn't fly in Europe, does it?
No, it doesn't. And it's so hard because I know people want to be comfortable when they're walking. But there are so many comfortable alternatives that aren't tennis shoes.
I don't even think when they play tennis they wear tennis shoes. They wear dress shoes when they play tennis.
Yes, I agree that tennis shoes, I think Tim Gunn says tennis shoes should only be in the gym, and I agree with him on that one.
He does, doesn't he? What about this? This had to be tough. I don't know you, but this had to be tough. The no makeup look. If you say that to most women, they run screaming. The no makeup look, really?
Yeah, it's like, I just think, I mean, if you turn on any reality TV show now, I mean, you're going to see a woman who is completely overdone, completely too much makeup on. It just looks fake.
Yeah.
So the no makeup look is not that you're not wearing makeup. You are wearing makeup, but you are, it's minimal and it's natural, and its purpose is to highlight your natural beauty, your natural assets. So, yeah, I'm hoping it'll start a revolution because I'm tired of seeing, you know, these Real Housewives that are overdone.
Oh, I got a neighbor. She looks like she's in Kiss. She's got so much makeup on. I always go, what are you, the guitar player for Kiss? I recognize you from somewhere. The skincare in France, for some reason, is impeccable. They really know how to take care of their skin. What's the secret there?
I think they really do invest in not only seeing specialists like dermatologists and estheticians and getting regular facials, but also in quality skincare products. So that's kind of a priority for them. And, you know, that stuff really, it does work. I have some expensive products that I use and some less expensive products. So it's about finding the right mix, but really just taking care of your skin. And then you don't have to wear so much makeup to cover it up.
Right. And this kind of ties in, I know also in the book you cover kind of eating strategies, but this kind of ties in is that the main drink there is water. They drink a lot of water, and water is great for your skin.
Yeah, they do. They drink a lot of water, and when I lived there, I got in the habit of drinking a tall glass of water right before bed and one right when I woke up, and then, of course, throughout the day. And also, you know, thinking about things like when you're at a restaurant at the end of the meal, instead of ordering an espresso, maybe have a hot water with lemon.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I do all the time. So just, you know, hydrating yourself. And, you know, I think a lot of people just don't like the taste of water because they're so used to sodas and juices and sweet things. But kind of getting back to that, you know, appreciating water.
Yeah. Well, you say that should be your main beverage of the day. I know here in the United States, I think it's high C, but it should be water, right?
It should be water.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You talk a little bit about the art of femininity. What is the art of femininity?
Well, I think, again, going back to what we were talking about with the no makeup look, is just going back to, you know, ignoring all of the hype about, you know, trends and what you should look like and everything. And just, you know, doing your hair in a flattering style that isn't so, you know, teased and combed and everything. You know, light, natural makeup, clothes that just flatter your figure. Just going back and sort of cutting out all the things that we're learning from, like, you know, like the Kardashians or whatever.
Yikes.
Who are like the sort of feminine role models in society today, you know, and changing that a bit.
But wouldn't you say, like, with the Kardashians, what they're doing is they're playing everything to excess, whereas in this, you're almost playing it to, like, a minimalist point of view.
Mm-hmm, exactly. It's kind of the opposite, really, of what they're doing.
How do they perceive, I don't know if you've been back to Paris since the Kardashians have exploded, which, by the way, I'd pay to see if they would explode, but what do you think, how are they perceived there in Paris, do you think?
I don't know. I haven't been back since they, you know, have been famous,
yeah.
But I know that in Europe, you know, my husband's English, and so I go to England a lot, and in England, they have, like, a fascination with them.
Do they really?
My mother-in-law is, like, fascinated with the Kardashians. I don't get it at all.
See, I always think the way it would play out is in other parts of the world, they would watch it and they'd go, that's why we hate America. That's why they just point it. No?
I know. No, they're, like, fascinated. You know what? I don't think that in France they would be. I think they would be horrified in France. But for some reason in England, I'm sorry, but it's true. Like, I know so many English people who are into it.
Wow. Oh, I can't believe that. That's so weird.
I know. It is weird.
All right. So I guess the key with the wardrobe and with the beauty, and you say this in the book, is you always want to look presentable. There should be no downtime. You always want to look your best.
Yeah. And I think some people confuse that with being high maintenance. But it's more just kind of going back. Like, you know, the other day I was looking at a picture of my grandmother when mm-hmm. she was around my age in her 30s. And it was just a picture on a random day. It wasn't a special professional photograph. And she looked so presentable, you know, and I think most of our grandmothers did and grandfathers.
Sure.
And like my husband and I, we were looking at these pictures and we were thinking, God, they dressed well back then and they looked well. And so right now we've kind of gone to a place where, you know, women might find themselves in yoga pants all day long or sweatsuits and their hair a mess, you know, and it's just kind of going back to looking presentable, which is really easy when you have a capsule wardrobe because it just you pick something out and you don't have to even think about it, you know?
I'm sure you've seen footage of, like, baseball games from the 1930s or the 1940s where they show the audience and the women are wearing dresses and the men are all wearing suits and hats and you just go, what was that, like a billion years ago?
Yeah, it feels like it was a billion years ago. Doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It really does. So can I ask, like, since you've done this, Jennifer, since you've lived there and since you've changed your ways, is life easier for you? Is it better for you? How are things play out on a day-to-day basis for you?
Yeah, life is it's so much more enjoyable now that I enjoy the simple pleasures in my life and I like paring things back and kind of I'm really motivated by sort of the way society's going, which is seems to be in the opposite way that I'm going.
Yeah.
But it motivates me even more to do what I'm doing because it feels good. Like a daily life is a pleasure.
Well, I'm glad you're going through this, and I want more people to go through it. And here's how you do it. You just pick up the book. It's Lessons from Madame Chic, 20 Stylish Secrets I Learned While Living in Paris. You can also visit Jennifer L. Scott's website, which coincidentally is jenniferlscott.com. And then there's another one, dailyconnoisseur.blogspot.com. Jennifer, keep writing books. You're very good at it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Stick around. We have a lot more coming up. It's Bill Leff with you on WGN.